decorated yet. Christmas time. This is the Christmas season, and no doubt the decorations and everything go up. And contrary, some folks decorate for all kinds of reasons. But it seems like at this time of the year, and it's a wonderful time of the year, you see a lot of people decorating trees and lights and everything. Me and one of the boys was driving, and we saw Daddy holding a ladder and a young feller on top of the ladder hanging lights on the house and going around the gutters and all those things. And I began to think about decorating, began to think about all those things that people's doing nowadays, and made me think of the scriptures and made me think of the stuff that's in the Bible, and made me think about this time that we're living in our culture. And we'll say that culture all the time changes, and it seems like this culture has changed now around this time of the year, Brother James, more than it ever has been. I want to say this, you know, for years they fought against Christmas. Don't get me wrong, I've studied out Christmas. I know the factual things, Brother Kenny. I can go back when they want to argue facts, but we're not supposed to live by facts. We're supposed to live by faith. And we're celebrating the birth of our Savior. We're celebrating the birth and the fact that He is real. He did come to this earth. You all believe that, don't you? It's the fundamental of the faith. It's the fundamental of what we believe. That Jesus is not a figment of our imagination. He's not some story that we just happen to pass down, but He's real. He's real and He's alive today. That's something wonderful to know. But I've thought about how culture has changed and thought about, and Lord placed upon my heart, how the culture has moved, how the culture has changed, but the culture of the church should never change when it comes to the birth of our Savior. We preached on Wednesday night just a little bit, maybe preached more than I thought that the Lord had me to preach, but we preached on faulty receiving leads to faulty believing. For you to have a salvation believing, there must be a receiving and that of a truth before you can believe who is truth. I believe, Brother James, that God was God. That's my testimony. I knew God is who He said He was. I didn't know the ins and the outs. I didn't know the particulars of who God was. I just knew that He was real. I knew that He existed. And at that moment of my conviction, at the moment of I've been dealt with by the Spirit of God in my heart, there was no doubt in my heart and in my mind that God is and still is, not just was, but He still is real. And I thought about that, and we preached along those lines that you got to receive Him and receive Jesus Christ and accept Him for He truly is, not who we think that He is. Y'all listen to the preacher? For oftentimes we think Him to be something that He's not, or I don't know about anybody else be willing to admit, but there's times that I have found myself thinking wrongfully or thinking in a faulty type way of thinking who Jesus is. And can I say this? You can't get Him wrong. You can't get Him off the beaten path. He is our guide. He is our compass. He is the one who saved our soul. And so I got to thinking about along the lines of the Lord. I put this thought upon my heart about the culture that we're living in and the thought process of if it's a faulty receiving, will it lead to a faulty believing? Because if we believe in Jesus in a faulty type way, then we're worshiping on someone who He is not to be. He is the Savior of all. Y'all agree with that? He is God's only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. Y'all believe that? He's one who lived perfectly and was sinless. Y'all believe that? He was 100% man and 100% God. Do you all believe that? They say, "Man, preacher, do you understand all those things?" I'll be honest with you, I don't understand how He can be 100% God and 100% man. That's 200% of something wonderful I can't figure out. But Brother James, I ain't got to figure it out. I got to believe it in my heart. If I have a faulty receiving of the truth, if I don't receive the truth and the way the Spirit deals with me, bearing witness with the Word of God, friend, then my belief is off basis, and I'm looking and seeing more and more and more as our culture begins to slip and our culture begins to shift in a direction. You know, there for a while they was trying to merchandise Christmas as being something that it shouldn't be. Then we got to the part where it's Christmas is it shouldn't be just Christmas. It should be happy holidays. It should be Xmas. It should be holiday season. When, friend, the world tries to hijack or the world tries to tear down what God has done, Friend, we can't stop them from doing it. But the one place the culture should not change, it should be with the people of God. It should be with the preacher. It should be with the people of God. It should be with the church. That's why it was exciting to know that there was people in Tennessee, there was people on the streets of South Lebanon who's still willing to stand up and still willing to step forward and say there still is a reason for the season, because He is the season. And Christmas is just a small fraction of the season and the reason, because Jesus Christ came to give a gift that no other man can give, and that's eternal life. Through and by this world and this culture has slipped. I'll get to my scripture in a minute. I won't have you stand and read. I know some that was here on Wednesday night may think, this is a rerun. It's good. It's like soup beans. We'll just warm them up just a little bit. John chapter number 6. Jesus preached the message. And He preached the message because He had all kinds of people following Him because of the fishes and the loaves. To put that in 2019 context, there was people following Jesus because of the free stuff that came with Him. Don't get me wrong, I like free stuff. That's one of my favorite words, free. If it's free, it's for me. But friend, can I say this? What Jesus did may not have cost us nothing, but it costs God in heaven everything. And can I say this tonight? Though we got saved free, He did not come cheap. And them disciples, those ones that was following Him, there was a multitude of people that followed. And when Jesus saw their heart and Jesus knew their heart, He didn't chastise them. He didn't cast them aside. He just preached them a simple message. He says, I am the bread of life. They say, well, hold up, preacher. They said, hold up, Jesus. No, God sent me. But Moses gave us bread. Moses gave us bread. He said, Moses didn't give you the bread of eternal life. He says, I am the bread of eternal life. He says, your fathers ate that bread and they're dead. He said, but if you take a slice of this bread, if you eat upon this bread, He said, you shall never die. He said, you shall have everlasting life. Then Jesus said, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood shall have eternal life. This bothered them. They couldn't comprehend it. Now don't get me wrong, Jesus is not asking them to perform cannibalism and eat Him physically, nor drink His blood physically. What He's saying is you've got to either have all of me or you've got none of me. Y'all listen to the preacher? The problem that we have in today's culture, in our church world, and in our world outside the church world, is that everybody wants some of Jesus Christ, but they can't handle all of Jesus Christ. Everybody wants people to get saved, but if they get too saved, Brother James, it's a hindrance to their lifestyle. Can I say this? Jesus didn't come to kill you. He come to set you free. He didn't come to nail you down. He come to loose the bonds and let you go free. Jesus said the thief come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But He said, I have come that you have life and have it more abundantly. Hey, friend, I want to say something. Heaven's going to be great and heaven's going to be sweet, but we're going to be shouting over there for what happened down here. That's why the season is Christmas. The season is Jesus. He come. He's done something. He done something for all mankind. I don't know why I ain't trying to jump in front of James, but I remember James has said many times his favorite Christmas verse is John 3:16. And oh, can I say this? Every verse in the Bible is a Christmas verse. The God who gave all, who could outgive and outbless us to give us something that none of us could ever attain to, that's peace and eternal life. Oh, what a joy and what a thought to have. But when Jesus preached that message, it bothered them. They got mad at Jesus. Jesus, can I say this? If a lot of people said, well, if I was there, I would have thought the same way. If Jesus Christ was to show up at a Baptist church, Brother James, three quarters of them would run out, would not like His preaching. That's exactly right. Because He would reprove us of our sin. So many people don't think they have sin no more. Preacher, you got sin? Oh, I got too much of it. I can't handle it. It breaks me down. It bothers me. Can I say, you got it too? I'm willing to admit this flesh is still littered with the sin. I fight and battle with it daily. And oh, can I say, that's why Paul said, he says, I die daily. Why? Because he says, I'm tormented. He says, who shall deliver me from the bond of this flesh? We preached Wednesday night that Paul would say the things that I should do, he says I don't do. And he says the things I should not do, he says I wind up doing. He said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He says, thank God for Christ Jesus, my Lord. Oh, can I say this, church? I thank God for Christmas. Why? Because Jesus is the gift that just keeps on giving. Paul already redeemed and born again, but he still needed Jesus Christ for the rest of his life. That's why he told the church of Philippi in chapter number 1, verse number 6. He says, this one thing know, that he that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Christ. That means, he says, you still need him. You still need him. You still need him. I don't know about you, but I still need him. Jesus looked at them and said, the words that I speak, he says, they are spirit and they are life. He says, our flesh profiteth nothing. And I'm alarmed. And can I say, it's no different than it ever has been. Every year something new happens. It's still fresh in my mind when people was attacking the church, because we say, we'll still stick with Merry Christmas. And people begin to blast us and go after us. I thank God that James Sr. put that on the sign. It's still Merry Christmas. Christ, the problem is not that, it's not that the world is changing Christmas. The problem is, James, we need to highlight Christ in Christmas. And the only people who can highlight Christ in Christmas is Christ's people. The culture should never change for us. And can I say, there's nobody more nitpicky, there's nobody more stubborn, there's nobody more narrow-minded, more thick-headed about Christmas than me. You may be just as thick and stubborn and thick-headed about it as I am, but not more than me. One of the things Solomon said, he said, too much knowledge will hurt you. And there's some things that I went studying out, I wish I never studied out and found the truth in. But can I say this? Even though some people try to nitpick and split the frog hairs and go and do all those things, but can I say this? Still yet, the number one reason to celebrate Christmas is because Jesus was born. And if Jesus was never born, there never would have been a crucifixion. And if there never was a crucifixion, there never would have been a resurrection morning here in a couple months, which we celebrate. I often find that when Jesus preached this message, and he preached it, and it bothered folk, he said, the message or the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The flesh profiteth nothing. And they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? We don't have a problem with the style that we preach. Folks have a problem with what we preach. And it's Jesus Christ high and lifted up. Jesus said, as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, he said, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and I'll draw all men unto me. Now, I know dispensationally, and I know in theology of time, I know people say, well, preacher, that's all have happened. It's happened physically, but he still needs to be lifted up spiritually. He needs to be shined upon. He needs to be adorned at this time as much as any other time, because this is the time we proclaim that he was born. We proclaim his birth. We don't propose his birth. We proclaim his birth. When he was born, the angels proclaimed his birth. And Josh, we should proclaim it too. Still yet, even if now, even the more. The Bible says those disciples, many of them got upset. Many of them got upset and they went back and followed Jesus no more. That's when he went to the 12. He said, will you go away also? And can I say this? A lot of folks is worried about being the church being too small. I mean, think about Jesus. He had 12 and one of them was a backstabber. He said, will you go away also? And Peter stepped up. You know, a lot of times Peter gets a bad name, but I'm glad Peter stepped up. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? He says, thou hast the words of eternal life. And can I say, those words are still fresh, and those words are still true, and those words are still pure if we allow them in our heart. The word has not changed. The word has not got archaic. The word has not gotten old. It just, our hearts need to be refreshed. Our hearts need to be cleansed. Our spirit needs to be cleansed, as the Bible says in many places. I thought about this and looked at the scriptures. And as I said, as we have went on a shift or a slip or a downward spiral, I find that we are now living in a day. I found out that 96% of Christians celebrate Christmas, but only 2/3 of them believe it's a religious holiday. I have found out that only 51% of Americans who celebrate Christmas see it as religious, and 1/3 of them see it as just something a part of the culture. Can I say this? The church is not supposed to blend in with the culture. The church is supposed to influence the culture. The church is supposed to have an effect on the culture. You say, preacher, are you trying to degrade and down and belittle the church? Oh, no, I'm not trying to belittle the church. I'm trying to get us to see once again that this is one of those times when we should shine bright. We should shine brighter than anything else in the world. Y'all listen to the preacher. That's the reason why the thought upon my heart is, have you decorated for Christmas? And no doubt we'll decorate. No doubt we'll do the things and we'll set things in order and do things how we want them to do. And I know some people that the argument is, do you put the Christmas tree up before Thanksgiving or do you put it up after Thanksgiving? Now the argument is, Brother James, do you put it up before Halloween or do you take it or do you put it up after Halloween? And can I say this? If we was more concerned, if we was just half as concerned about the Christmas tree as the light that we should shine through us about Christ in these days and times, friend, it would be a wonderful culture that we were living in. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't think I'm a Scrooge. Don't think I don't like Christmas. I love Christmas. I love Christmas time. I love giving time. I love spending time with family. But, friend, I could never move on. I can't leave the spot. I can't leave the mark. That if it wasn't for Jesus Christ saving my soul, I wouldn't know how wonderful Christmas is. Oh, yes, we live in a day and time. But I thought about this as I saw them decorating with the lights. We decorate on at this holiday season, the lights and the icicles. We got the lights that look like reindeer. Even got them ones with a red nose now, make them look like Rudolph. We got all kinds of Christmas decorating. We got the trees. We got the nativity scenes. We got all kinds of things. And I'll be honest with you, I used to get so crazy and cringy about it, but that was in my flesh. But I got to thinking, you know, if there's a time for peace and there's a time to bring some kind of love and compassion, it should be the time of Christ's birth. And can I say this? Oftentimes we forget none of us has arrived. None of us has never achieved that mark where we know everything and we don't need to be taught of anything. Can I say this? The Apostle Paul says, I have not yet achieved. I have not yet got to that spot. He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. That's all I am. And can I say this? Paul said, I proclaimed it. Paul says, I preached it, not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but with the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. He says, the Jew seeketh after a sign, and the Greek seeketh after wisdom. But we preach Jesus Christ, the cross of Jesus Christ. It's foolishness unto them, but it's the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. And so I thought and I wondered. And I began to look and see. If you'd like to flip to Isaiah 61, is where I'll take my text from. I thought about Saul. There's a house in Blanchester, and they got signs, they got lights, Brother Roger. They got every tree decorated. I think they got every blade of grass decorated. Vicky, they got the chimney decorated. Miranda, they put the big giant, I'm talking the size of a Volkswagen peace sign on top of the roof. Just so that everybody going to the Amazon hub flying over Blanchester could see that there's peace. Jesus Christ came to bring peace between who? God and man. People lighted up. There's a place off of 275, I do believe it's Coney Island. You can drive through and they got them all digitized and linked up with music. And we've went through and it's amazing what technology does. You can go to Kings Island and they got the big Winterfest and got all the lights. I saw the photos and I went to Tennessee during the Christmas time as those that's come back. And it's beautiful down there. It's a sight to see. It's wonderful. Beautiful time. And to me, it's something, a part of our culture that is a plus that the world takes part in. That the world almost, Brother James, is at a time, it's almost, and I don't want to say, I hope you all don't understand what I'm saying, it's almost like the time of a funeral because hearts begin to get softer around the holiday time, the Christmas time. People tend to be more, they think about folks less fortunate and they think it's part of the culture. But Brother James, that should be the part where we should shine the most and say, well, the reason why this is all here is because of one who came. And I thought about in Isaiah 60, number 61, chapter 61, verse number 10. Just follow along with me. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Notice what he's writing. I will greatly rejoice. Not just, I'm a little happy. I'm greatly rejoicing. That means he's more excited over the Lord than a touchdown, a three-point shot, a slam dunk. More excited than a home run. He's more excited than a slap shot. He's more excited than deer hunting and going fishing. He's more excited the Lord. So shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Hallelujah. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewelry. He's talking about how much he's excited. He's talking about how much he is rejoicing in what God has done for him. He says, Lord has covered me with the robe of righteousness as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments. To decketh, that means to decorate. That means to emphasize. He says a bridegroom's got his garment on and he decorated. That means he decketh. That means he's going to stand out different from the rest of the crowd. The bridegroom, the Bible says here in the verse, it says, as the bride who adorneth herself with jewels. She's set apart. She looks different. And I'll say this, even in our tradition of marriage, since we have two that just got engaged, even in the historical tradition of our marriage, the bride wears what? Say it a little louder now. The bride wears what? Y'all don't quit on me now. What color is she supposed to be wearing? Why? It's a sign of purity. It's a sign of cleanliness. That means something to the Lord. You say, preacher, all those things are just superficial. Then the writer said, I will greatly rejoice because the Lord hath clothed me with salvation, righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth her apparel. Brother James, she's setting herself apart. He's setting himself apart. Who for? For each other. Friend, I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I got clothed upon with something I've never had on before me before. And that was the righteousness that God would look down and be accepted by. Hey, my righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of God. But Jesus, the Bible says, who knew no sin, became sin, that I might be made in the righteousness of God. So when God sees me, he doesn't see Jason Faulkner. He sees me accepted in his dear beloved son. So I asked the question, the thought upon my mind, have you decorated for Christmas? Have you adorned yourself for Christmas? To deck and to adorn basically means the same thing. When you adorn something, you beautify it. You make it special. You go the extra mile. Yeah, right? Don't we go the extra mile at Christmas time? There's nothing wrong with it. Please don't think I'm taking shots. I want to encourage you to know this, that though we go the extra mile at Christmas time, and some of you have, I'm encouraging you to do more. But can I say this, the one thing that we also should adorn and be decorating up, the Bible says in Titus chapter number 2, verse 10, we should adorn the doctrine of God. We should adorn the doctrine of God. Many people don't like that word doctrine. Many people get upset over that word doctrine. They get upset and say, preacher, I don't like doctrine. Well, friend, if you don't like doctrine, you don't like the Bible. Because that's what the Bible is, it's doctrine. John told in that second or third letter that he wrote, he says that he hath not the doctrine of Christ, hath not life. What's the doctrine? What's the doctrine? It is the primary teaching, the fundamental beliefs of the faith, of the religious order that we have. And Jesus Christ is the foundation, the chief cornerstone of the foundation of our belief and of our doctrine. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became sin. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and in 1 John chapter number 5, the Bible says that God, he sacrificed his son. And this is the witness that we have within ourselves, that Jesus died and rose again. In Isaiah 53, the Bible says that the Father sacrificed the soul of the Son. Why? So we could have peace and have an opportunity to obtain a mercy and grace at the time of need to God and by Him. I thought about the adorning and the decking of the doctrine of God. Now I thought about this time that we adorned. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 61, that bride adorneth herself with ornaments. Does anybody know what Revelation 21:2 says? John said, I saw New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, adorned as a bride for her husband. Woo! Thank God it wasn't just a past tense thing. It's a present thing, Brother James. It's a future tense thing that we are to adorn ourselves. We are to be that way. I find in First Peter chapter 3 and verses 1 through 4, I often read these scriptures and I often think about this. I hope no one gets upset, and I want you all to listen to these verses. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1, it says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Who's adorning, who's decorating, who's beautifying? Let it not be of the outward adoring of the plaiting of hair and the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. I'm going to stop right there and say something. It's not a t-shirt, it's not jewelry, it's not makeup. Don't get me wrong, if you want me to preach on dress, I can preach on dress and got plenty more power than what this is saying right here. But he's saying don't let it be the outward apparel. Don't let it be the outward thing, Brother James, because Jesus told those Pharisees and Sadducees, he says, you present the cup white or then washed and clean in the platter. But he says the inside is full of excess and extortion. But in verse number 4, Peter says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great prize. Woo! Can I say this today? Oftentimes we'll use that scripture to go against ladies, but I believe our culture out in the world has shifted, and you can put a man right there the same way, Brother James. We try to decorate the outside, do things on the outside to present ourselves to be some kind of religious situation or religious person of stature or of position in society and the culture. But the Bible says God knows our inside. And friend, don't be worried about trying to dress up the outside more than you are on the inside. Don't get me wrong, I'm all for cleaning up, looking right, looking good and talking right. I think you ought to dress the way a person ought to dress as a Christian. Y'all listen to the preacher. I know it may be out of style, but it's still right, Brother James. When you see a man with a beard like this, an old mustache, he's got on a flat kind of farmer's looking hat, blue pants with suspenders and a wide shirt, everybody says that's an Amish person. When you see a lady with a bonnet on and a full length garment from head from neck to foot, just like we had an old fashioned day, they say that's an Amish person. When you see a lady who's got her hair all tied up in buns and wearing no makeup and a denim skirt down to the dirt, you all say she's a Pentecostal. But you get all upset when someone's walking around with a pair of cut off shorts so high up you can see parts of their anatomy that you never ought to see. They got the clothes on so tight they squeak when they walk, and they get mad when you say that. But friend, it's not just the preacher who points it out, but the world sees it also. But God says, I tell you what, if you get the inside right, you'll take care of the outside later on down the road. And he says, decorate and adorn the doctrine of God. He says, do that first. Adorn the doctrine of God. I have found in the scriptures, I have found in the verses, I have found in the Word of God, where he talks about how we're to adorn. I said it was in the book of Titus. It's actually, I do believe it's in the book of Timothy, chapter 2, verse 9. No, listen, they said, in like manner that also women adorn themselves with modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold, pearls, and costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Can I say this? That needs to go for the men too. Can I say this? The world, people may not like to hear this, but it's the truth. They can spot an imposter a mile away. Oh, yes, I can go to church, and my neighbors can see me to go to church, and they can watch me get in my car on Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday nights. I think it's good that the neighbors see you going to church. But if you're sitting out back hollering and cussing at your wife and cussing at your kids and doing all those things, and some folks may not like this, but I still think it's Bible. Got 4 or 5 beer cans sitting in front of you saying you're just trying to help your stomach feel better because Paul said a little alcohol for thine stomach. Y'all listen to the preacher. Don't sit there and let the don't fool yourself. Don't be deceived. James said, don't be a hearer of a word, deceiving yourself, but be a doer of the word. He said, we should decorate ourselves and adorn ourselves. That's what Isaiah was saying. That's what Paul was saying. And that's what John was saying in Revelation. I find some people say, preacher, how can I adorn myself? How can I do these things? In Titus chapter 2:10, when it says we are to adorn the doctrines of God, I believe it's going to have to come with a conviction. We've got to have a conviction about us. Conviction has multi-definitions. One of them is you've been found guilty, it's been proven. Another definition for conviction is a deep-held strong belief. A deep-held strong belief. Do you know what the most unpopular belief at Christmas time is? It's for you to stand straight up and say, the reason why we have Christmas, the reason why we have this country, the reason why you have been afforded these liberties and freedom, is because Jesus Christ came to this earth. And you know what's so wonderful about Jesus Christ coming to this earth and giving us all these liberties and freedoms, Brother Josh? If people don't want to believe it, he says, fine, you ain't got to. But I'm thinking it's a better life if you do. You say, preacher, it's hard. It is hard at times in this world. Sin makes it all. It's not easy, but it's worth it. It's worth it. When you're used all up and the world uses you up and people uses you up and you're left off by yourself and you may not shed a tear or say nothing to nobody else. You may find yourself in a corner or in a car or doing something. I thought about this. There was a woman that was found down in Cincinnati out behind a business in a car and she was dead. She'd been dead for a couple of days and didn't know what was going on. And as we was coming to church this morning, they said they found out the cause of her death. She committed suicide. No doubt. I don't know how. I don't know how she got to that point. But can I say this? It had to be a very dark time in that car, Brother Don, for her to want to take her own life. And can I say this, many of people in these days and times, even though this is the greatest time of our culture, and it should be, though this is the time when we should decorate and adorn not only the doctrine of Jesus Christ, but adorn and the doctrine of Jesus Christ in us and through us, but it's also one of the most depressed times in our culture. More so that we should have a conviction now than ever that Jesus is the reason for this season. And with that conviction, we should have a compelling as they had in Luke chapter number 14. When Jesus told those disciples, go out into the highways. Is anybody still listening to this preacher say amen? He said we should have a compelling. If there's a sale going on, we'll tell everybody what's going on. If shoes are for sale, where's Christian at? Like him shoe sales. He's over going, oh my gosh. Camouflage, jewelry, purses. Well, everybody know. That's good. I think it's a good thing to do, Brother James. But the greatest thing we have to offer and to proclaim is Jesus Christ. We should compel. He says, compel them to come in. He says, don't look, just look for the ones that look like they might be good candidates to be a member of the church. He said, go find that one that's beat down, that one that's in the gutter, the one that's in the bushes, or the one nobody wants to talk to. Go compel them and tell them about the greatest thing that ever was that happened. It's Jesus Christ. He said, with that conviction and with that compelling, there's one thing that we can't go without, and that is our compassion. I saw this debate. There's a thing that I saw and come across. They're having this big debate. Compassion or too much compassion? I'm sitting there scratching my head saying, how can you have too much compassion? And they were arguing over whether or not you should have compassion on the world and try to help them, or should you just proclaim the gospel unto them? Well, I'm sitting here thinking, going, how can you not proclaim the gospel of God without compassion? And how can you complain the compassion and the gospel of God without reaching a hand out and helping someone? The whole entire thing that we've been talking about doing the missions board and everything, is not because we don't do nothing. It's because we should do so much more. So many times people in our culture and our way of life, Brother Eddie, we'll do a little bit and say, man, that's good enough. I got time to go to the basketball game. I got time to watch TV. I'll just sit back and pat myself on the back. When there's people who's traded in their whole entire life, their whole entire future, their whole entire present, they say, I'm selling out and I'm going to go with God. The Bible says that when Jesus had taught and Jesus had preached, there was a great multitude that followed him. They was in a desert place. And the Bible says he had compassion on them because they had nothing to eat. He asked them if they had anything to give them. And I think the disciples was more concerned about the money that they had or concerned how's this going to get to come across than having a compassion saying, God, we're going to do whatever that you want us to do. We'll do whatever it takes through you to feed these people. If we lose our conviction of who Jesus Christ is and the reason for this season, if we lose our hunger and the compelling that we have to invite and to tell people about Jesus, you know, we've talked about this, and I'm so glad they was giving tracts out yesterday, and right now there's some people from my background that knew if I was a part of passing out tracts, they'd blackball me. I don't care. I'm independent and I'm fundamental. I don't care what anybody else believes. I'm following God, sink or swim, live or die. And somebody's got to have a clear presentation about the gospel. And can I say this? I'm glad people has passed out tracts, because I watched and I did a little study. We've tried to do the Facebook thing. We've tried to do the internet thing. All those things are good. But they have found out after all the research, still the number one way to get people to Jesus Christ, to win their souls, to get them to church, is a one-on-one confrontation, person to person, face to face. The Apostle Paul said this in Corinthians 9, I think it's 2 Corinthians 9. He says, to the Jew, I become a Jew. To the barbarian, I become a barbarian. To the Greek, I become the Greek. To the unlearned, I become the unlearned. That I might save some. I might win them. I might bring them to Christ. You said, preacher, you can't save nobody. I'm not saving their soul. But if I can show them and bring them to the church, Brother James, I've saved them a life of hard times. Would you rather have them sitting in a bar stool in a church pew? And now don't get me wrong, there's some people sitting in this church pews just as lost as people sitting on a bar stool. But I still rather have you in the church house, hearing the Word of God, being proclaimed from the Word of God. Y'all listen to the preacher? That should be our conviction. We should have a compelling spirit about us where we want everybody to hear it. Is it scary? I'm telling you, my family is the most terrifying people to witness God to. Just scares me plumb. Don't take this wrong. To me, sometimes it'd be easier just to shoot them than it is to tell them about Jesus. I mean, they get mean with you. They don't like to talk about the Lord. I'm not trying to say it to be funny, but James, there's some people that we come across. I mean, it's hard as can be, but who's going to compel them? Who's going to tell them? My conviction and my compelling should be fueled by my compassion. My compassion comes from my love of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, how do we do this? Go to Romans chapter 13. I'm in closing. Feels like I've been up here for 2 hours and I ain't been up here that long at all. Romans 13, Bible race, go. When you got Romans 13, say amen. Verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, and let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. That's adorning. That's a decorating. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, not in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust of that. You said, preacher, what's that mean? Take on Christ, put on Christ. Christ had a reputation. The religious folks didn't like Jesus too much, because Brother Eddie, Jesus went to those who was in need. They said he eats with publicans and sinners. Well, he said, well, they that are not, they ain't, those that ain't sick, they don't need a doctor. He said, but those that are sick need a doctor. So I went to those that are sick. Makes sense, right? He said, but put you on the Lord Jesus. The widow woman from Nain, Bartimaeus from the side of the road, the 10 lepers. Jesus healed all 10. Only one come back to praise him, but he still gave out to all. Put on the Lord Jesus. That doesn't mean be a pacifist, be a sissy. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying about being putting on the Lord Jesus Christ is that compassion and love. That's the reason why I love how he gave this story of the Good Samaritan. We can sit in our priesthood and our priestly garments, look the part to the world, but it don't have no compassion to get down in the ditch. We can be as the Levite, our status amongst the church, but that don't get us in the ditch with those who've been overtaken. But that Good Samaritan, who would normally be the enemy of that Jew, that Samaritan got in the ditch, helped him, anointed him, put him on his beast, took him to the inn, paid for it. Y'all listen to the preacher? Helped him in their situation, got him out of their situation, took him to a different situation. Took a little bit of time, didn't it, Brother James? It may take more than once. You say, preacher, I've been helping some people over and over and over and over again. Well, I'm glad Jesus never stopped helping me one time. He keeps helping me over and over and over again. That compassion that is Jesus Christ. One more verse, and I'll come to a close. Have you decorated for Christmas yet? Jeremiah 31. I cheated. Bible race, go. Jeremiah 31. Christian, be praying about your song to bring. If we'll put on the Lord Jesus Christ, if we'll have our conviction compelling and our compassion. Jeremiah 31, verse 1, it says, at the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. Verse 3 is probably one of the favorite verses of mine. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn. Verse 4 says, again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Now, promise you won't stroke out on me? Say, I promise, preacher, I ain't going to stroke out on you. You ain't going to stroke out on me, are you? He says, I'm going to adorn you with thy tabrets. Does anybody know what a tabret is in the Old Testament? James, you know what a tabret is? Tambourine. Preacher, now you're getting too sideways, preacher. This is a Baptist church. I don't care if it's a tuba. I don't care if we walk around, I'll have that staff in one hand and a tuba in another. I'm playing the tune of Jesus Christ because he has restored me. He has loved me with an everlasting love, and with loving cords of kindness has he drawn me. If I would allow him to adorn me with my with them tabrets, he says, I'll be dancing. Preacher, I'll never dance, son. But I could do it a whole lot more. I'd moonwalk right now if my knee wasn't hurting. Why? Because it's Christmas time. I would ask you, who here's got their Christmas tree up, got their lights on? You should see at the Faulkner House. We don't decorate hardly that much. It's a Christmas tree. It's all we got for the lights. It's like DEFCON Red, World War IV. It was worse than the Palestinians and the Jews fighting over getting that Christmas tree. People was quitting. People was wanting to burn it and everything. And it wasn't me. Hallelujah. I just sat back, Sister Lois, and kind of laughed and left and come back. A couple of minds got together and put the Christmas tree together. As soon as it was all decked out, as soon as it was all lit up, got that fancy star and it isolates and rotates. And it's like, ain't it beautiful? Ain't it pretty? It's hard sometimes to adorn and decorate. But I don't think it's worth it, though. When we put on Jesus and we decorate Him up and show Him up at this time, it may take a little effort. But Sister Vicky People's going to sing. He's going to be lifted up. It's going to be rejoicing. I wonder today, have you decorated? Are you ready for the Christmas season spiritually? How's your walk with the Lord? Have you been kind of depressed, discouraged, downtrodden? Are you letting things, the flesh, dictate your mind and your actions? This preacher can tell you, I've been there. I've wrestled with it. I've struggled with it. One of the greatest things about Jesus Christ, Peter said it in chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your cares upon me.